We're uncovering new details into a crash that killed a UNC student. We'll have the latest on charges against a Chapel Hill football player.
Three incidents involving weapons on NC State's campus in just the past week.
I mean, weapons on campus, of course, are a concern.
The new warning from school officials and the concerns from students.
From the 60s to the 20s and then right back up. I'll show you our temperature roller coaster through the weekend and into next week.
We have breaking news tonight at 7. The investigation into a deadly crash in Chapel Hill has led to additional charges against seven other people. In the last 15 minutes, alcohol law enforcement shared this update. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. We're talking about a crash on Highway 54 last month near Barbie Chapel Road. A UNC student, Molly Rotunda, was killed.
WRO's Chris Lovingood is in the Live Center. Chris, you're learning about the new suspects and what may have led to the crash.
Yes, Gerald, and Ashley, I can tell you, I mean, there's a lot of information that we got in this press release here, and we're sort of kind of sifting through it a little bit. But what we've been able to tell is investigators say several people that they have listed in, and I'll say their names in just a bit, were working, at least two of them were working at a bar called Still Life, and they have been charged with counts of giving alcohol to those who are underage. And some other people here who don't appear to have been working at Still Life as well were a part of this, too. This right here is a Facebook page for Still Life in Chapel Hill, and I'm just showing you right here. This post was just 6 hours ago saying that it looks like some sort of ladies' night, so it doesn't appear like Still Life is going to be closed tonight. But the people that we're talking about in this case, Carissa Webb, age 22, Annelle McNair, age 24, Malachi Hamrick, age 19, Travis Shaw, age 19, Cameron Spencer, age 20, Caden Spender, age 22, and Malaya Pelham, all charged in some degree with aiding or abetting underage possession or consumption of alcohol, with the exception of those two people there who are accused of serving them at Still Life. Now, the other place that we've seen in this press release as well that the state ALE is investigating right now is called Might As Well, and that's on Franklin Street. And again, these are people who are accused of providing alcohol to minors as well, or underage drinking as well. So we're still going to kind of dive into this because there is a lot, as we know that ALE was investigating this as a whole thing, right? There was, again, the person that died. There was also the other vehicle that involved a football player at UNC. So many different elements to the story that we continue to dig with. I tell you what, stay with WREL. We're going to keep going through this press release, and we're going to get more information to bring to you here in the WREL Live Center.
All right, Chris, thank you. Two guns found on NC State campus in 3 days. The university's police chief is fed up, reminding folks weapons are not allowed on campus. The most recent incident was at the D.H. Hill Library. Nothing criminal happened, but now a person is banned from campus. Students told WRL's Shelley Jackson this is a concerning trend.
There have been three incidents on the NC State in this last week, the most recent here at the library. We're told those incidents are not related. Now, we've talked to a lot of students out here today about weapons on campus. They say it is a concern, but they also cite North Carolina's gun culture.
I mean, it's a little bit of concern. I mean, weapons on campus, of course, are a concern.
Advise the guard at that north entrance that the guard was not allowed to look in that subject's backpack due to it containing 1032.
The latest incident happened Tuesday at the D.H. Hill Library. The university says the man did not commit a crime. No one actually saw a gun, but he has been banned from campus. Monday, a man was arrested outside of a residence hall on Greek Village Drive for carrying a concealed weapon and having it on campus. And last Sunday, a Wake Tech and NC State student was charged with having a gun on campus after a rifle was found in his truck. His attorney tells WRAL he is a legal gun owner who forgot the weapon was in the truck when he went to work out with friends. Students tell us they are concerned.
My roommates and I, we had like a big meeting. We were like, do we go to class tomorrow? Like, what are we supposed to do? And it was really scary.
NC State student Sam Magdans also says there's a familiarity with guns in the state.
At the same time, it's North Carolina, there's a gun culture here. I know there's plenty of people who are going to have them in their car.
NC State University Police Chief Daniel Howes says they take incidents involving weapons seriously. He says the incidents we've responded to in recent days did not pose a threat to the community, with both individuals being cooperative and the firearms were never used or displayed against anyone.
But it's still scary knowing that there are people on campus with guns.
Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And according to NC State regulations, firearms are prohibited on all university property. Students who violate the law could also face disciplinary actions.
In the last 2 hours, Raleigh police released new information about why one of their officers shot a man. The five-day report shows Officer M.L. Berg fired 18 rounds at Rancis Vargas. This happened last weekend on Rock Quarry Road. Police were responding to a shooting call outside a sweepstakes parlor. They say Vargas shot two women after a domestic dispute. The officer saw Vargas with a gun and told him to drop it. Vargas then ran behind a truck and the officer opened fire.
He's taking cover behind a truck where, in the officer's mind, he can return fire on an officer that has no cover whatsoever.
It's very unfortunate that we have these type situations in our community.
The officer thought the truck was empty, but two people were inside. When they tried to arrest Vargas, one of them shot a third person unintentionally. That person and the two people in that truck had been released from the hospital. Officer Berg is on administrative leave. We're going to take a live look now at North Hills. A nice, clear Friday evening for you. A slight chance of rain tomorrow. Meteorologist Kat Campbell's in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, how likely is it we're going to see some rain, and will it be much at all?
Not much at all, Gerald. The chance, 30%. So this is not a big rain event for us whatsoever. I just don't want anybody who wakes up early to be caught off guard. We're not going to see any rain until after midnight. It's as we get toward 4, 5, 6 a.m. that we have the best chance of a shower. Any rain that we see would likely be pretty light. We'll keep in a 20% chance of rain through 8 o'clock, but 9 o'clock and beyond, we are dry for the rest of the weekend. This is what brings a chance of a sprinkle. We've got this cold front and area of low pressure that are passing by. But the bigger impact from that cold front will be the drop in temperatures that you will notice over the weekend. Hopefully you haven't put away your winter wardrobe just yet. I'll let you know when we're back in the 20s after being in the upper 60s yesterday coming up.
All right, Kat, we'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you.
A Durham school bus burst into flames and, amazingly, not a single person was injured. 23 students and the bus driver were on board when this happened. The bus caught fire around 2 p.m. near the intersection of American Drive and White Pine Drive. A witness posted this video of the fire on TikTok. Look at the size of the flames there. The bus driver got all the students off the bus before the fire department arrived. It took firefighters about 15 minutes to put it out. Durham Public Schools tells us a mechanical issue caused the fire. A second bus came by to pick up the students and bring them home safely.
The company accused of releasing dangerous chemicals into drinking water in our area says they are not at fault. Earlier this week, the town of Pittsburgh voted to sue Apollo Chemical. They say the company released 1,4-dioxane into the Hall River. Apollo responded today with this statement, which reads in part, Apollo Chemical has never discharged 1,4-dioxane directly into any public waterway. A third-party consultant has been engaged to examine Apollo's manufacturing and waste collection procedures to recommend enhancements to prevent future issues. Now, meanwhile, Pittsburgh approved funding for a study to look into the advanced water treatment. It would use UV light to destroy harmful chemicals. The program should be up and running within 3 months.
We are continuing to look at the issues plaguing St. Augustine's University, including money troubles and enrollment. WRAL's data journalist Allie Ingersoll found out it isn't the only HBCU struggling with that.
The student body population at St. Augustine's University in Raleigh sat around 1,100 in the fall of 2022, dwindling from about 1,400 a decade prior. It's a 23% decrease in 10 years' time. While that is significant, federal education data shows most of North Carolina's other HBCUs are losing even more students. As a state, the combined enrollment of our 10 accredited HBCUs is down by only 4%. Better than the nationwide view, where over the last 10 years, HBCU enrollment dropped by 16%. However, when we look at individual schools, it's becoming clearer that some universities are losing students at a much higher rate. Six of the state's 10 historically black colleges and universities have seen greater decreases than the national average in that same period. For example, another Raleigh-based school, Shaw University, has had their population halved, enrollment dropping from about 2,200 students to a little more than 1,000. Greensboro-based Bennett College saw the largest decrease, down 76% amid accreditation issues. Some HBCUs in the state have seen notable growth, though. North Carolina A&T has 2,800 more students now than they did in 2012, a 26% increase. And Fayetteville State's population has gone up by 12%. In Raleigh, Allie Ingersoll, WRAL News.
When you zoom out nationwide, higher ed in its entirety is experiencing a decline, down 13% in that time.
This weekend, WRL goes on the record examining the Durham Public School System salary dispute. We look back at how the district got to this point. A month of protests, call-outs, passionate school board meetings, children can't go to school. And we'll hear from someone who says her income changed drastically.
So tell us about the step. You went from where to where?
I was on 33 based on me being a licensed physical therapist for 33 years. And since I've only been with Durham Schools for a year and a half, I'm now at step one.
33 to one.
Yeah.
Was that insulting for you?
Very, very much so. Very much. Yeah, that's a lot of hard work that, you know, the therapists come in and we may have worked in hospitals or home health and gain a lot of valuable experience that help us be better therapists in the school. So they were just kind of devaluing that and saying pretty much whatever you've done before you've come to DPS doesn't count.
Also this weekend, how the district ended up with this dilemma, what an expert says the original salary study in question was trying to do, and where the district can go from here. Make sure to watch On the Record tomorrow night at 7 on WRAL.
A stingray at an aquarium in western North Carolina is pregnant with no male stingrays around. What do you think is behind this mystery? A secret partner or cloning? We'll explain the theories next.
Then the DBAP is convinced watching grass grow is not boring. They have a webcam set up for people to watch crews put down the new sod. Just ahead, how the home team gets ready for the new season.
It is the Friday of Valentine's Day week, so what better time to talk about couples? Tonight, I want to talk about a couple that is dominating the headlines with thousands upon thousands of likes and shares. No, no, I'm not talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I'm talking about the other it couple this week, a stingray and a shark, or perhaps a stingray and herself. Maybe you've heard about this story this week. A stingray named Charlotte at the Aquarium and Shark Lab in Hendersonville is pregnant, and no one knows how. There are no male stingrays in her habitat. The facility believes there are two possibilities here. The stingray could basically be cloning herself, or she may have mated with a small shark in her habitat. I want to walk through both possibilities because both are possible and super rare. So let's start with this one, the unlikely couple. Could the father be a shark?
She's never been around a male until we put those two little boys in here.
Different species do mate from time to time. They're known as hybrids. One example is actually pretty common. Breeding a horse and a donkey gives us a mule. Another one you might have heard of, a tiger and lion. Breeding the two big cats gives us a hybrid called a liger. And here is one from marine wildlife. It's extremely rare. A dolphin and a whale known as a wolfin. All three of these have actually happened, so why not a stingray and a shark? The two fish are in the same family. The facility in Hendersonville even says they found bite marks on the female stingray, which is a common thing for sharks to do when they mate. An expert at Sea Life Aquarium told the NBC affiliate in Charlotte, this probably is not the answer. You see, sharks and rays may be related, but they're more like third or fourth cousins, six or seven times removed. Becca Thomas told WCNC, quote, it is very, very unlikely. Stingrays and sharks, while they are related, they are very distantly related, so it's very unlikely that they would mate together. But the aquarium and shark lab where this happened is not ruling it out. They wrote in a Facebook post, quote, just because something has not happened or has not been documented doesn't make it impossible. Science is discovery. That brings me to option number two. It's called parthenogenesis. The word comes from two Greek words, parthenos, meaning virgin, and genesis, meaning creation. I know that sounds like something out of the New Testament, but this kind of thing happens more than you think in the wild. A study released in 2021 found California condors have virgin births. They can have virgin births. A snake at a conservation center in St. Louis gave birth twice, each time without a mate. Asexual reproduction can also happen in sea stars, crayfish, jellyfish, and ants. So could it happen in a stingray? Maybe. It's a more likely possibility than mating with a shark, but either way, Charlotte's story is pretty remarkable.
We just underestimate these poor little fish.
It's
a once in a bluest of blue moons experience. And it's like, wow.
The facility plans to get to the bottom of this. DNA testing will happen soon. And in the meantime, Charlotte's caregivers are looking after her and her pups. This is a video they posted after taking an ultrasound. They expect Charlotte to give birth within the next 2 weeks. So we'll find out. We'll find out soon, right?
You see a dorsal fin on that.
And by the way, it is worth noting that we also heard from the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher. They agree rays and sharks can't breed because of their reproductive anatomy. They say that the cloning theory, the parthenogenesis, is likely the right one. But I don't know. We'll find out.
I think it's AI.
Oh, don't even go there.
What do you think, Kat?
Conspiracy theories are starting.
No, I think it just, you know, had its own baby. We'll see. Snakes do it all the time.
Yeah. Apparently, according to National Geographic, more than 80 species have been recorded to have gone through parthenogenesis.
There you go.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. The world is waiting on Charlotte's answer there, so we'll get the answer soon. Outside tonight, we've got some cooler temperatures on the way. If you look at your weekend forecast, 53 on Saturday, 52 on Sunday. We get down to 28 degrees Sunday morning. Hour by hour, taking a closer look at your weekend planner, we have a 30% chance for rain at 6 a.m., a 20% chance at 8 a.m. So rain chances really aren't too impressive. Outside tonight, you know, with the 20 to 30% chance of rain, I chose to light the tower blue, and that's because during the day tomorrow, it's going to be nice and quiet on the radar. It's just very early in the morning we have a chance for rain. The sun set earlier tonight at 5:57, almost to the 6 o'clock sunsets. And Fenton, no more ice skating rink up. They've got the grass back out, or the turf. And looking at our cold front that we're watching, we are likely to see a good amount of snow in parts of the northeast. As low pressure continues to move up to the northeast, there will be another round of snow. This could impact your travel, so a heads up, if you have travel plans this weekend, make sure that you are checking with your airline. Futurecast is not showing a lot of rain for us. As we get toward 4 a.m., you can see a few spotty showers, mainly in the northern part of our area through about 6, maybe 7 a.m., but by 9 a.m., we're likely to be dry, and then we should be dry for the rest of the weekend after that. 28 degrees on Sunday morning. It's really going to be cooling down. We get down to 31 in Fayetteville Sunday morning, 27 in Durham and Rocky Mount, 28 in Southern Pines, 24 in Roxborough, and 26 in South Hill. It is going to stay pretty cool outside. Temperatures in the low to mid 30s for much of next week. We've got three freezing mornings in a row out there for the next couple of days. We're really cooling back off. 53, as I had mentioned, and 52 on Sunday, but it's a long weekend for a lot of people. So the weekend forecast really takes 3 days now. If you have Presidents' Day off of work, your kids maybe have it off school. 59 with full sunshine expected on Monday. And that is the beginning of our next warm up. Certainly looking forward to next week. It's looking pretty good. Tomorrow morning, if you're headed out for a walk on the local greenways, 47 at 8 a.m. By lunchtime, we're at 50 degrees. And then during the afternoon, we should be right around the low to mid 50s. Keep in mind, it may feel cooler than that because we have a northwest wind around 10 to 15 miles per hour. It's staying blustery and chilly outside tomorrow. We'll see the wind die down overnight, and that's why we dip down into the 20s Sunday morning. Once we get to next week, though, check out the warm-up on the way. Once we get to Tuesday, we're right back in the 60s. We could be in the upper 60s on Thursday ahead of our next system. That one brings a much better chance for rain. That would come Thursday night into early Friday of next week, the way it looks now. So we'll keep an eye on that. But most of the 7 day up until then is pretty dry.
And that's a pretty good looking weekend, too. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kat.
The DBAP is getting new grass, and it comes from a North Carolina farm.
Up next, how this factors into a much larger project at the ballpark. Soon you'll be able to fly directly from Fayetteville to Charlotte. American Airlines is enhancing its service from the Fayetteville Regional Airport. They'll offer 5 daily flights between Charlotte and Fayetteville starting March 5th. The airline will discontinue service from Fayetteville to Dallas, Texas, however. A traffic alert if you use Hillsborough Street in Raleigh, a section of Hillsborough near Blue Ridge Road, will be closed starting Monday as part of the I-440 Blue Ridge Improvement Project. This is the construction happening near PNC and the fairgrounds. You may have noticed it. The closure will start Monday night at 6 o'clock and last for 2 weeks. Give yourself extra time in that area for a detour or find another route.
There is still time for Wake County residents to have their say about the future of a 224-acre park in Wendell. Earlier this week, the town held a meeting about the future of Lake Myra County Park. Planners want to transform the land into a community park that includes fishing, hiking, and boating tours. Residents were able to take a deep dive into three concept designs for the park and give their feedback. You can still view the information about the park and take a survey on the Wake County website. Town officials hope to open the park by late 2026. Baseball season is about a month and a half away, so at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, fans looking forward to opening day on April 2nd. And here's what's going on now. The DBAP staff is going through a total renovation of their ball field, which they do about every 10 years. The sod is grown by Carolina Green in Charlotte, which supplies sod to athletic stadiums across the country. DBAP's Scott Strickland says the athletic field technology has improved over the years.
You know, football fields back in the day, they used to have the big crown. That no longer exists. Even you know, college fields that you go to these days are just about perfectly flat.
The DBAP has installed webcams so fans can check in on the progress of the sod installation. You can even watch the activity on your smartphone app.
I'll admit I don't want to watch sod going in, but I watch people cutting grass, and for some reason it's weird. I know. That's kind of neat for me.
Well, you find cutting grass to be so meditative,
therapeutic.
Right? Yeah, very therapeutic. I find baseball fields to be fascinating with the precision of the mounds, you know, getting the laser pointers, making sure that everything is just perfect and so even for everybody. Anyway. Yes. There you go. Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock over on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.